Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is David Langford. We'd like to welcome each of you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism, International Radio Ministries. As always, we greet you in Christ our Lord, our risen Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, and more than anything else, our soon coming King. He will come again. I know many people do not even believe in a literal second coming of Christ our Lord. But you can rest assuredly today, my friend. Christ will come again. Yes, he will. He will come again. And that gives the believer, the child of God, great hope. Great hope. We read in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus." It is a hope. If all we had was Christ in this life, Paul said we would be all men most miserable. But we know that Christ is not only in this life, but in the world to come. That gives me strength, gives me hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to play an old song today. If I'm not mistaken, the song was written by Rusty Goodman, who's been dead now probably about 20 years, but simply says, "Look for Me," sang by his daughter. I believe it'll touch your heart. And I pray today that it is your heart's desire to endure unto the end and inherit the kingdom of the Most High God.
One.
Yes, my friend, I trust that you will be there too, that you will fight the good fight of faith, you will lay hold to eternal life, and you will wholly embrace Jesus Christ and his word here in this nefarious hour in the which we are living in. I want to go today to the book of John. John writes many, many things that the other synoptic gospels, for whatever reason, did not write or pen like John. When you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are so synonymous. Thus we have the term synoptic gospels. But John's, his gospel, always had another breadth and depth to it. When you read the book of John, we find so many other things that Jesus did relative to his ministry, and there are, I'm sure, biblical principles from God's perspective why he did those things. No man can grasp, neither fathom, the depth of God and his understanding. We are so greatly limited as to what we understand. That's why it's imperative that we pursue vehemently the word of the Lord. God's word is everything that we need to know. As we read the Word of God, the Holy Ghost has the power to illuminate our minds and let us see in the Spirit, which undoubtedly is yet another measure, not trying to make something up, but able to see. As the man of God, Daniel, was able to see, was able to understand some of the greater things of God as he read Jeremiah's writings. He wasn't making anything up. But in Daniel 9, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, Ahasuerus, the king, he said, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Here's the key to that verse. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer, supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He set his face unto the Lord. And he sought the face of God by prayer, supplications, which means to pray for other people. He coupled his prayer life with fasting and one of profuse humility in putting on sackcloth and ashes. And as he began to pray, he made confession, his confession. And he was inclusive in that he said, we have sinned and have done iniquity. We've done wickedly. We have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and thy judgments. So the man of God accepted his responsibility as well in the state of the nation of Israel. So if you'll get in the Word of God, and God's Word will get into you, it will illuminate your mind. I want to go to John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I want to use for just a few minutes the thought, you must be born again. You must be born again. I often wonder, do we realize who Christ was speaking to here in this particular passage of Scripture? Most believe, without any reservation or hesitation, that Nicodemus was a great man and that he was a prince, magistrate, that he was no doubt a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, and that he was thought well of in the religious circles. But John pens Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, telling us that this man had some type of seniority, superiority in and among the Jewish people. Jesus did not talk to the woman at the well in John 4 like he talked to Nicodemus here in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a religious Pharisee. He was a ruler, as I said, among the Jews. He was a teacher, undoubtedly, in Israel, and many would deem him a member of the chosen race. He was a covenant child and had been circumcised on the eighth day as an infant according to the law. But Jesus drew him into such a state and place, it blew Nicodemus away. To protect his self-righteousness, He came to Jesus by the night. Jesus, in this same chapter, says in John 3:19, "And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Nicodemus came to Jesus by the night. He recognized the authority and the lordship of Christ in the sense that he called him Rabbi. "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." Being a Pharisee, he still was able to recognize the anointing of the Holy Ghost that was upon the life of this man called Jesus Christ. Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." And the reason we know that is because no man can do the miracles that you're doing except God be with him. Jesus, however, is not interested in talking about miracles. Jesus is not interested in Nicodemus saying to him or endorsing him, "I know that God is with you." Most men would, "Yes, sir, you better believe God's with me." Jesus did not need the endorsement of men. He had the endorsement and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and that's all he needed. John 2:24, the scripture says, "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them," talking about people, "because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." Nicodemus didn't have to tell Jesus one thing about who he was. Jesus knew who he was because he knew all men, the scripture says, and he knew what was in man. Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Most religious bigots would have been immediately offended at what Jesus said. Now, most people like Nicodemus are carnally minded. Nicodemus said unto Christ, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" You see, this phraseology was above his pay grade, to say the least. "You must be born again, Nicodemus." Why? I believe the greatest reason and principle was that Nicodemus was a religious man. Many of you listening to me today, you may be religious. Most people sitting in most churches are religious, to say the least. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of the Holy Ghost. We have dead people sitting in dead churches, listening to dead sermons from dead preachers and pastors. And the preachers and the pastors and the ministers do not deal with the spiritual pertinent issues that must be addressed and must be preached and proclaimed in this end time hour. I must admit, I loathe, I despise the prosperity gospel. Forgive me, Lord, it's not gospel, it's a lie. It's a lie. We are to preach repentance. We are to preach, "You must be born again. You must see." cease in being religious and you must become born again. How many preachers preach repentance and preach you must be born again? Oh, God wants you to have your best. Victoria Olsteen has got herself in a boatload of trouble saying that we really worship ourselves. And God wants us to be happy. Happiness comes from happenings. I said happiness comes from happenings. Jesus talked about joy and peace and comfort in the Holy Ghost. Not this tenuous, worthless, self-aggrandizing message, but the truth that men must be born again if they want to inherit the kingdom of God. They're not preaching the way is straight. They're not preaching the way is narrow. They're not preaching few there be that find it. While in the Olsteen church, everyone is going to heaven. Even the Pope says to the atheist, you don't have to believe in God. You're still going to heaven when you die. Well, you see, the Pope is asinine in his thinking because the Bible said in Psalms 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So you want to tell me that a fool who doesn't even believe in God is going to receive the same eternal life that I do in believing in Jesus, my Lord Christ? There's something wrong with that picture. Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his works. I'm not talking about works in redemption. I'm talking about works because you are redeemed. Works do not redeem you. Works do not justify you. Works are a manifestation that you are redeemed, that you are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He gives reward to every man according as his work shall be. Jesus was not desirous to be politically correct with Nicodemus. He said, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. In the Greek, that phrase, be born again, means you got to be born from above. Notice how Nicodemus looks at his earthly birth from a mother's womb. But Jesus is pointing him to the Father who will beget him if he will have faith in the work that Jesus Christ did at the cross. A vast difference. I believe this phrase is twofold here in John chapter 3, verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is twofold. Except a man be born again, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God and have eternal life. If he's not born again, neither can he see and discern spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:14, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. You see, Nicodemus had not been born again, thus he could not discern the verbiage of Christ, because he says, how can I get into my mother's womb the second time when I'm an old man? He couldn't get it. You'll never get the spiritual things of God until you become spiritually minded. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We do not desire any longer to ascertain the mind of God. You don't even hear preachers preach ascertaining the mind of God. They want you to be happy in your carnality. They want you to be happy in your little pathetic, pitiful world. We're supposed to rejoice in the kingdom of God because we have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because your 401k went up, or you're driving a new Mercedes or a Bentley or a Rolls Royce or a Cadillac or whatever the case might be. By the way, there's nothing wrong with those cars. But that's not where your affection should be set. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above and not on the earth. You got to set your eyes on the higher calling and things of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, he's trying to decipher this from a totally carnal mind. Now here's the scary thing. We don't read here in this passage that the Holy Ghost convicted Nicodemus in this passage. Now, I'm not saying he did or he didn't. I just don't have record of it here. You see, this is the reason. This is the importance. This is the significance of the Holy Ghost. Nicodemus, if you look at it in the true context, was a pitiful, pathetic creature. Because in verse 10, Jesus said, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? You are a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? And of course, Jesus goes on into a greater depth and breadth about spiritual things, but I don't want to go there. I want to stay with Nicodemus. You see, Jesus said in John 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. There's got to be some kind of pulling. Just like the Holy Ghost in the burning bush arrested the man of God Moses, and he said, I will now turn aside. Jesus says, you cannot come to me except the Father which has sent me draw you. It's a pulling. It's the love of God constrained by the Holy Ghost to speak to your heart, to speak to your life, and draw you to him. It's like the drawing of a net. I'm not going to get into Matthew chapter 13, but we know how the net was cast out into the sea. And they brought in all of the things that the net had taken in. And they sat down. This is the analogy. They sat down after they had cast the net into the sea. And the Bible says, Jesus said, and they gathered of every kind. You'll find this in the Matthew chapter 13. And then when the net was full, they drew it to shore. They sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. You see, this is the drawing. God, the Holy Ghost, has to draw men to him. This is what, to me, is concerning Nicodemus in this passage. Jesus is very clear. He's not giving any kind of religious rhetoric or jargon. He is hitting Nicodemus squarely with the issue of being born again. You got to be born again, Nicodemus. If you're not born again, Nicodemus, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. As I said to me, that's twofold. You cannot enter into God's kingdom. There is a kingdom that exists. It's called the kingdom of God. Once you are born again, you are now in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in you, and now you have the ability to see spiritual things. This is why we know that Nicodemus had not been born again, because he says, how do I get into my mother's womb the second time? He's lost. Nicodemus is a lost man without God. Lost. There are so many people in the church world today that are still lost without God. They think they're saved. They think they're born again. And they think that because they're churchy. They're religious. Are you born again? I'm a Baptist. Are you born again? I'm a Presbyterian. Are you born again? I'm a Methodist. Are you born again? No, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Are you born again? No, I'm Church of God. Are you born again? No, I'm Southern Baptist. Are you born again? I'm a Mormon. Are you born again? Are you born again by the Holy Ghost? Has the Spirit of God touched your heart? Has the Spirit of God revealed to you your lost state, your lost condition? He not only makes one aware of their lost state and condition, but he also brings them to the cross and says, now you must repent because now you have knowledge that you're lost. Can I tell you something? Nicodemus didn't know he was lost. He didn't know he was lost. There's a lot of people. There are a lot of preachers preaching don't even know they're lost. It's a vocation. It's a choosing of one's career as to what it might be. Mama called them and daddy sent them to school and paid the tuition. Schools of theology. Seminary, or really schools of cemeteries, dead. Education without salvation is damnation, just like the Gnostics. Intellectualism will not cause a man to be born again. If it did, Nicodemus would have understood what Jesus said, because he was a ruler of the Jews. I do not doubt the intelligence of Nicodemus at all. Not at all, because he was a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin. But was he born again? No. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't get in without being born again, period. Jesus is very adamant and unyielding in telling Nicodemus he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You got to be born again, Nicodemus. Now, to my friends who think water baptism has something to do with your salvation, you're absolutely wrong. You can hose down all the drunks you want in the world. That doesn't save one of them. As a matter of fact, the water here is actually a reference to the Word of God. The Word of God is oftentimes used as water in describing what it does. You see, you have to understand the Scriptures, like Ephesians 5 and 26, that it might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Psalms 119, verse 9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Word of God will cleanse a man of his sin. Paul in Titus chapter 3, he says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now notice this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus who died on the cross, he's washed us by his shed blood. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. The blood of the Lamb is so holy, so pure, so undefiled, it washes away sin in a man's life. And of course, Jesus himself is the Word of God. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, Jesus makes it clear to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Neither can you enter into the kingdom of God unless you are born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. My wife and I have had 4 children. They were all conceived through our flesh / humanity. John 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power or the right or the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The jailer, Acts 16:25, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So John says to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the blood from me, a father to my children, nor of the will of the flesh. My wife and I, we talked about having our children, so we willed to have children between the two of us through our fleshly abilities, nor of the will of man. You can't be born again into the kingdom of God by the will of a man. You have to be born again by the Spirit of God, by the will of God. I want you to get this in John 1, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The will of God. What is the will of God? You must be born again. That's the will of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. Don't let nobody tell you, sir. Don't let anyone tell you, ma'am. You do not have to be born again. Don't let them lie to you and deceive you into believing that heresy. You must be born again. Jesus said here in our text in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. How many times did Christ say that? Three times. Nicodemus, don't you marvel. Don't you look at me in amazement. Don't you look at me baffled, confused, beleaguered mentally, not knowing what to do. You got to be born again, Nicodemus. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. You see, Jesus had the witness of the Holy Ghost on his life, because Nicodemus saw that, for he said, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The greatest miracle of all is the miracle of the new birth. Why, if God healed every cripple, healed every cancerous, tumor-ridden body, if Jesus Christ opened every blinded eyes, cleansed every body that had a venereal disease or HIV or AIDS, and they didn't get born again, what would it have profited them to have that miracle of healing? To still end up in a devil's hell without God. See, that's the problem with many people. They follow the miracles. It's not scripturally sound. It's not doctrinally right for people to follow miracles. No, sir. No, sir. Well, how's it supposed to be, preacher? Mark 16, verse 20, and they went forth, and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. We got people following the signs when the signs follow the preaching of the word. I'm amazed at how people write, email us, call us. There's something different about your preaching. I sense the Holy Ghost. I sense conviction. I don't sense that with other preachers. Duh. But then my detractors will say, oh, but look at the miracles that are taking place. Look at Todd Bentley, all tatted up and preachers flying from all over the United States to go to Florida and let this man touch them. he's an adulterer, living in sin. They are following the signs. The signs follow the believer when the Word of God is preached. I don't care how many miracles you witness. Satan is going to do great signs and wonders in the end. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his works. See, God knows the truth. Did you know every church in the book of Revelation, there is one redundant statement to every church in the book of Revelation? You know what that redundant statement is? Do you want to know what that redundant repetitive that statement is over and over and over again? I know thy works. That's the statement. He said that to every church in the book of Revelation. To the church at Laodicea, the church at Philadelphia, the church at Sardis, Thyatira, Pergamos, Smyrna, and Ephesus. He prefaced every church every time by saying, I know thy works. I know you. I know you. I know your works. You say this and you do that. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, speaking of the Antichrist, he said, even him, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The truth, my friend, is you must be born again. You must be born again. This spirit of Antichrist with all power and signs and lying wonders. Oh, my word, did you see that? Are they preaching repentance? Are they preaching you must be born again? What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? As I said to you, I believe it's 2 weeks ago now, no matter how fanatical, fantastic, or fraudulent it might be, there's never a lack of followers. No matter how criminal and dastardly these preachers are, there's never a lack of followers. Never. Never. The Antichrist will do powers and signs and lying wonders. And then this second beast in Revelation 13:12 says that he will exercise all the power of the first beast before him. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. How about the pastor in Florida who challenged the Muslims to a showdown at Mount Carmel like Elijah? When I read that, that struck me wrong. That struck me. You don't make God do anything. You don't make God bring fire down from heaven. And I thought, what if that man had gotten, that so-called pastor had gotten what he wanted and got a showdown, and God didn't honor him, and the devil sent fire what would you say then? Let me tell you something. God always resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You don't ever challenge the devil until God tells you to challenge him. You just don't jump up. You don't jump up and make trite statements. You better be led by the Holy Ghost. Because you're going to see power and signs and lying wonders. And the people are going to believe it because they received not the love of the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. They say, oh, we're all going to heaven. We're just taking different avenues. Oh, are we? Jesus said, I am the way. That's why I said John's gospel shares with us so many details that we don't find in the other gospels, and there's a reason for that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How emphatic is that? How plain is that? How unyielding is that? And yet these lying preachers will tell you, oh, that's all right. That's all right. By their good words, Paul said, and their fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans 16, verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Let me say this in closing. There's nothing wrong with being simple. I like simplicity. Just because I love simplicity does not mean I'm ignorant either. Acts 17:28. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's Acts 17:30, excuse me. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God's telling everybody, you got to repent. You got to repent. Why? Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day into which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead is a witness that God is going to judge every man at an appointed day. By the way, you pre-tribbers, God's not going to come just any time. He will come at an appointed time. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Why? Because he raised Jesus from the dead. To think that Jesus could come in the next minute, that's nonsense. He never did anything like that. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There was an appointed time when he came the first time. There's an appointed time when he comes the second time. It will be in the fall of the year. It will be around Feast of Trumpets and Feast of Tabernacles. I know that much. I don't know the day nor the hour, but I know the season. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I know the times. I know the seasons. Because I know the scriptures. I don't say that arrogantly. God forbid. But Daniel said, I understood by the books and the writings of Jeremiah why we're in this predicament. I understood, Daniel said. I understand some things, folks. I trust you understand some things. Luke 24:45, then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He'll open your understanding to understand the things of God if you so desire to understand the deep things of God. My time is gone. You must be born again. You must repent. You must say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my backslidden condition. I'm sorry for indulging in the wrong things of this life and of this world. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sin. You quit worrying about your neighbor. You get concerned about yourself and your sin, my friend. Luke 21:34, Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. You better take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. Take heed to yourself. Do a self-examination spiritually. Am I where I need to be with God? Am I born again? Three times Jesus hammered Nicodemus, and the last time he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again, Nicodemus. You've got to be born again from above. Time is running out. Many people are playing God, are playing church with God. Quit playing church. Quit being religious. Quit being religious. Develop a divine relationship, and Christ will certainly order your steps here in the end. God bless you. Have a great evening. God willing, I'll be back here tomorrow at the same time to bring to you once again an uncompromising message from the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.
Night.